On this first Sunday of July, we are entering what are called the dog days of summer. These are the hottest days of summer, and they get this name because the dog star, the scientific name for it is Sirius, is in conjunction with the sun for most of July and August, the hottest days of summer. This is the brightest star in the sky, and in July and August, it always stays close to the sun. You can see it in the dawn and in the evening. The ancient Romans believed that this star was so bright that it actually warmed the earth, and that's why they called these days the dog days, because they believed that part of the reason July and August were so hot was because the sun and the dog star were next to each other, and they were both heating the earth at the same time. In these two happy months of July and August, people typically go on vacation. Very often, people travel long distances in their cars to interesting places like Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon or Glacier National Park in Montana, which I will do this week. And as we're thinking about the long journeys that we're about to embark on, or that we've just come back from, it makes us think about the journey of life. In sacred scripture, the highest praise that can be given to a saint or a holy person is that they walked with God. This is a very concise description of the state of perfection. This was the privilege of Adam and Eve before they sinned. In Genesis, it says, after Adam and Eve sinned, that they heard God walking in paradise in the afternoon air, which implies that they used to walk with him when they were holy. It also says about Enoch and Noah that God walked with them. And God said to King David toward the end of his life, I have been with thee wheresoever thou hast walked. And God says repeatedly to Solomon, David's son, that David walked before his face. To walk with God is an anticipation of the eternal happiness of heaven, where the just will walk with God forever in the glory of the saints. Let us think about this phrase, to walk with someone, and try to see what the Holy Ghost means by saying this. When you walk with someone, your full attention is focused on that person. You talk to them, or at least you think about them, and you are vividly aware of their presence. The modern equivalent would be like riding in a car with someone today, such as when you go on a long trip this summer. When you are riding in a car with someone, unless it's someone you see all the time, usually you talk to them. You are free from distractions. You are cut off from the rest of the world to a large extent by being in the car. You are alone with that person, and you communicate only with them. If you have to communicate with someone else with a cell phone, normally you apologize to the person you're riding with after you hang up the phone, because you have a sense that you should only be talking to them. Also, you are traveling when you walk or ride with someone. You are not interested in the place that you're in at the moment. You are simply passing through it to get from one place to another. Because of this, you are not distracted by what you see outside the window or by what you pass by. And you are not where you want to be. You are not in that place because you like being there, but only because it is a means to get to your destination. And this detachment, this indifference to outside influences, frees your attention to focus more on your conversation with your fellow traveler. Let us now apply all of this to walking with God. This life is a journey, Actually, life is commonly called a pilgrimage. And a pilgrimage is a trip to a sacred place. And we are walking with God in this pilgrimage, or at least we should be. We should focus our attention completely on God in this life. And we should watch everything else sort of pass us by with the vacant and indifferent gaze with which we look at things that we drive past in the car while we're talking to the person we're with. Because all things in life are passing except God. He is the one thing that's constant. Just as when you go on a trip, the one thing you know for sure is that you will get to your destination with the person you're riding with, no matter what else happens. And we might have to make a few stops on the way on a trip, or we might get lost. We might get a flat tire or a speeding ticket, especially if we don't have a good radar detector. But no matter what happens, we will still arrive with our companion. And in a similar way, in life, we know that we will go through good times and bad times. We will have crosses and disappointments, as well as successes and triumphs. We will make friends and lose them again, or even become their enemies sometimes. People will enter our lives and leave again, or they will move away or die, or things like that. And in all of these changes, what stays the same? What is constant? It's God. It is His presence with us, and the fact that He is with us in life. He is with us either by sanctifying grace, if we are fortunate enough to be in that state, or at least He is with us by His actual graces and by His providence, by which He tries to bring us back to His love. He is our companion through life, from the moment we are conceived until the moment we die. Everything else in life that is not God is, in effect, something outside the car. It can't really affect us in any important or lasting way. It might interest us or distract us from our conversation with Him, but in a few minutes we will have driven past it, and it will be out of our lives, and we will forget about it. The one thing that is constant from the beginning of a trip to the end is our fellow traveler and nothing else. When we drive with someone, we also have to have a lot of trust in them. In the scriptural image of walking with God, a person has to at least trust that God knows where he is going. And then, of course, when you ride with someone in the car, you have to trust that they will get you there safely. When I was in the seminary, I once had to be driven somewhere by an exuberant and somewhat wild high school kid. And as we got in the car, I said to him jokingly that I trusted him with my life. And he answered that that was the worst mistake I had ever made. Fortunately, he was wrong, but this shows how much confidence we have to have if we are traveling through life with God and He is guiding us home. We can't be backseat drivers with God. If He drives us along cliffs with no guardrails or through dangerous neighborhoods, we have to trust in His infinite wisdom that He is taking the best way to get us to heaven. And we shouldn't bother Him by asking Him if we're there yet. He doesn't like that any more than Daddy does on a long trip. God doesn't want us to shirk the difficulty of the journey. Very often the reason He makes the journey difficult in the first place is so that we will learn patience and we will grow in virtue and not try to circumvent life's journey quickly, like children who want to arrive at their vacation place immediately. Now, of all the people who knew how to walk with God, no one was better than the Blessed Virgin Mary. She lived a retired life in the presence of God for her whole life. When she was only a few years old, her parents placed her in the temple, where she spent all of her time in a close familiarity with God. In all of her joys and triumphs, as well as her sorrows and griefs, she always did the will of God. In the supreme moment of her life, when she was told by the angel Gabriel that God wanted her to be the mother of the Savior, what did she say? She only said to let God's will be done. That was the only thing that mattered to her. And in her moments of supreme anguish at the foot of the cross, she was equally resigned to the will of God. She knew that God was in control and that all that mattered was what he wanted, no matter what the cost to herself. She knew that all she had to do was to do God's will and that he would take care of the rest. But unfortunately, we are very different from the Blessed Mother. We think of God so little, and we do so little for him. Let us try to do more so that we can become more pleasing to God and more full of his grace. Let us try to walk with God in our lives in such a way that we understand that he is the only thing that matters, the only one we can rely on, and we should see everything else, the passing circumstances of our lives, as something that is secondary to our relationship with him. We should try to get to know him as well as possible in this journey with him through life by speaking with him in frequent prayer. He is closer to us than anyone else in our lives, just as we are closer to someone in the car with us than we are to anyone in the world outside. Let us try to place more importance on him and on his will than on anything else, and to trust in his providence. This means that we shouldn't grumble when we don't like how things are going in our lives, but we should let God lead us through life by the way that he sees to be best. He is in control, and we only need to do our part to serve him and let him work his will in our lives. We must see this world as something passing, something that doesn't affect us in any important or lasting way, because we're only passing through it. Every circumstance of life is only another stage of our journey, and our journey is to heaven, to be happy with God for all eternity. May God and his Blessed Mother accompany us in our journey through life, in this pilgrimage, so that they may bring us safely home to be happy with them for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.